We'll call this meeting in order, redistricting meeting. Thank you everyone for being here. We have minutes in front of you. Would like someone to move to approve the minutes, please. Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
We don't need one.
Oh, that's right, I'm sorry. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion carries, the minutes are approved. We have a couple of people to testify today. I'd ask that they come down to the testifying table at this point. But also ask that you, when you get comfortable, thank you for being here, you guys. Ask that you identify yourselves for the record so that in the future we know who you are.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Kent Sulem. I'm general counsel for the Minnesota Association of Townships. I want to thank you for this opportunity to talk today. Hopefully my voice will hold out, or the microphones will be loud enough to pick up what's left. It's kind of appropriate for me to be testifying today. It is Township Day in the state. It's the second Tuesday of March, so statewide. Every township is holding their annual meeting, and two-thirds are doing their elections tonight. About a third have moved to November, but two-thirds are holding their elections, and every one of them are holding their annual meeting. So it's a perfect opportunity for us to share our concerns with the redistricting. I will be quite brief. I know you've already heard from the cities and counties, and in a number of ways we do have similar issues, but we do have some things that we want to point out. I appreciate the concerns that were raised last week by the city and county folks, and I want to state that I totally understand the logic behind keeping local units of government together as single districts, holding things as compact as possible. But it is also important to realize that there can be some unintended and unfortunate consequences, particularly if urban hubs become the center of districts and the lines are drawn out from there. We know realistically that Greater Minnesota is simply going to lose representation. I mean, the population shift and growth in the metro area clearly has outgrown the rural areas of the state. But if the urban hubs are strictly the center of the districts, there is a concern among our folks that the truly rural areas, such as the townships and the very small cities, will lose even more of a voice as fewer of the Greater Minnesota seats. The fewer seats that are out there, most of them will end up being filled by the urban hub legislators. Mixed districts do have a strong historical root in Minnesota, and I do understand that prior to the days of the courts just basically taking over redistricting because of the inability to find compromise, there were was a great emphasis on making sure that there were good mixed districts. And I hope that that is something that this committee and your Senate counterparts, along with the governor's office, can arrive at that same type of conclusion. Now, like I said, I understand the concerns about long districts or pie-shaped wedges and that type of thing. But the idea here is that, and I think Senator Senjum and former Representative now Senator Carla Nelson said it best when they spoke to our group from their area last week. Representative Nelson said, well, or Senator Nelson, when she said when I was a rep, because my district was strictly the city of Rochester. I didn't leave the city limits. Now that I'm a senator, I have a much more mixed district, and I'm a far better legislator for having a mixed district. Senator Senjum, completely independently, without knowing that Carla had said the same thing, made the exact same comment. And they're both members who come from an urban hub region, but they have a mixed district, and they realize the value of having that because of the diverse interests that are out there. And so I guess what I'll leave you with is that while I understand I may be making your challenge even harder, I just want to make it clear that it's very important not to forget about the voice of the truly rural areas and not focus just on the urban hub. We hopefully can all find agreement that it will be better for all of us if the legislature can find that compromise. The courts will, as Mr. Mansky testified last week, focus solely on numbers and have far less focus on any kind of divergence from that core number, and we'll end up with districts that are not as mixed and don't take into account the diverseness of the state the way we can if the legislature draws up the plan. So with that, I will be happy to stand for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Solomon. No challenge is too hard. I do have a question. How many total townships are there in the state?
1,785, representing just approximately one quarter of the population.
Any other questions for Mr. Sullum? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Sullum, we've talked a little bit about the 10% deviation standard that we currently have for local units of government. Given the technology that's available to us today, what are your thoughts as far as the 10% deviation, and can you explain a little bit why?
Mr. Sullum.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson. I have not had an opportunity to see, you know, I'll be interested to see how some of those mappings play out. I don't have access to that same technology. Our association is a very small, limited budget association, and our members obviously don't have the same technology as some of the larger metro areas. But it is something that, because I know that the courts have a much smaller deviation, perhaps even less than 1%, I think that the rural areas will be much better served by the legislature looking at that 10% deviation, which I understand is 5 on the high side, 5 on the low side, and having a little more flexibility to justify broader boundaries to ensure the diversity of the state is well represented. So I think we would definitely be very supportive of the legislative efforts and recognizing that broader deviation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Sullum, what kind of coordination do you do with the counties and the cities when it comes to your portion of the redistricting process?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, I'm going to be honest, this is my first go-around. My late colleague, John Dooley, some of you knew John. This was his baby back when he was representing townships, and so this is my first involvement. I can tell you that as far as the current efforts, you know, I'm talking constantly with LMC and AMC, and I hope that we can continue to work well together. I just know that there are differences of opinion that can come out, especially when you start looking at trying. And I know even with any membership organization, you can have the push for the core urban hubs, but then the rural members of those associations too saying, hey, wait a minute, don't forget about us. Mm-hmm. So we are in constant dialogue, but I don't have the historical perspective.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Sullum, I realize you might not have it with you today, but if you have any really good examples of how what happened when if a township was divided in past history.
Mr. Sullum.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, you're correct. I don't have that info available right now, but I'll certainly check with my my boss, and who's got a 30-year history of doing these things, and see what we can come up with for you. Be happy to bring that back.
Thank you. And if your remarks, Mr. Chair, Mr. Sullum, if your remarks are in writing, if you could share them with us.
I will. I ran out of time today to get them copied, but I will have them delivered to the committee administrator.
Representative Murphy? Any other questions? Representative Garofalo.
Well, I just want to say, Mr. Chairman, that I think that legislators who represent cities and townships are better legislators, too.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Sullum.
And I certainly appreciate that, and I certainly don't mean that as a disparaging comment on our folks who are city-only, because we certainly have had, especially with some of our metro folks, we have a real push with our members this year to adopt a metro legislator. We want them to realize that we are a state. We have many parts, but we are one state, so we certainly work well with our metro colleagues, too.
Thank you, Mr. Sullum. Representative Garofalo, I even represent some unorganized townships. So I'm one up on you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy, go ahead.
Do they vote by mail?
Yes. Anything else? Okay, next, Mr. Schneidewind, state your name for the record,
yeah.
Please. Who you represent?
My name is Kirk Schneidewind with the Minnesota School Boards Association, and I also want to thank you for inviting me to to be a part of this discussion. And I think this is the first time that we obviously have a 10-year window here, but I think this is the first time the school boards have been asked to testify on issues. And I understand you're kind of in information gathering mode here on some of the impacts. And I have, when you don't have a lot to say, you give a lot of handouts. And so I've given you a lot of handouts here. And I think, you know, I think the map is obviously courtesy of the Department of Education, but I think it gives a good example of what school districts look like in terms of their political boundaries, that we are all over the map. We cross counties, jump into cities, and you have consolidated districts, and you have districts that share and pair, and so there's a lot of variations based on the school district boundaries. I think it's important to note that we are a membership-driven organization, and many of our legislative initiatives are driven by our local school boards, and this has not been a huge issue for any of our members going forward. Obviously, it's a 10-year increment here, but this has not been an issue for them to say, you know what, we need to fix it this way so we can have one representative or we can have two representatives. It's not been a big issue for our members. Our school board members adapt to whoever they have, and I think it's interesting. I think we were given some senators an award one time, and I was listing all of the school districts they represented. And to a T, each one of them came back to me and said, well, I don't have part of this. I don't have part of this. I don't have. They may not have represented the home district office, but they did represent part of that district, albeit a very small piece of the district. They were able to do that. And so that's one of the unique things about the way the boundaries are drafted here on school districts, that when it required you to become a K-12 school district, everybody kind of ran to their local town, and as a result, you've got kind of a hodgepodge mess of lack of uniformity. So also on the, I think another thing that you probably are tracking is the issue of even year and odd year elections. And I've given you a handout on that piece, and we have seen a huge sprint to an even year election. And in large part, we used to be, I believe in 2005, we were about 50-50 in terms of school districts having odd year elections and even year elections. And now we are to the point where I think we believe we only have 57 school districts that have odd year elections. And they have the local discretion to do that. And they do that in large part so they can separate themselves from the larger general election. The school board issues and referendum issues can be the single issue that's before the electorate. So that's one thing I think that may be important for you to consider. And then also the fact that, of the consolidation piece. One of the issues that we see is a number of districts have consolidated over the years, one because of some incentives and others just based out of need and providing programs for students. And those districts are unique in that they grab small communities from around and ultimately become one larger school district. And so you grab some additional cities in that piece. And then I also wanted to talk to you a little bit about one last thing is to share is the is the school district, the districts with election districts. In our survey, we have found that approximately 13 districts have election districts. And that may be a minor issue for you to consider as you move forward on this. And by that, by an election district, I mean that they've got a precinct or a ward that they've divided. And so therefore, a school board member would be elected from that specific area or geographic area based on the population size. They've all got to be equal. So there's 13 that presently have that. And some of them have kind of unique arrangements, where I believe Rochester School District kind of has an alley system where you run for a particular chair rather than representing a district.
Excuse me, Mr. Schneiderman. Yeah. Representative Anderson has a question.
Yeah. Mr. Schneiderman, excuse me. can you go over that piece just a little bit more on what the school districts, what the election districts are?
Yeah.
You said I have a precinct or a ward from that area. Can you give me more detail on what that is?
Yeah.
And Mr. Schneiderwind.
Mr. Chair, and that's the handout with one of the handouts with the 13 school districts on it, starting with Elk River and ending with GFW. And so what they have decided to do is, and some are consolidated and some are just regular school districts. And so what they have decided to do is there's a process in law that allows them to file for election districts or wards or precincts. And so your school district is divided up into equal population sections, and therefore you as a school board member will file for a seat, and you will file for that ward 1, ward 2, or precinct 1, however you label them. And they've decided, so what they mean then is it gives more representation to that specific area based on the fact that you have a representative. So that's one of the issues that you may run into, and because I think part of the issue is once you get into this, and we've heard from our boards out there, once you get into an election district like this, there's not a method by which to get out of it. And so I think some districts, and that may be another discussion on another day, but I think that some of our boards are interested in looking at that option.
Representative Anderson, follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Schneiderwin, why did those school districts get into that in the first place? What was the reason behind?
Mr. Schneiderwin.
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, I think it's a local issue. I think that many times they do the research, and based on the fact that let me back up here for a second. Is the consolidated districts like GFW and McRae, those are the two that come together, and that might have been part of their consolidation plan, is that they said, you know what, we want to have equal representation from around this new school district. And another might be just representation, is that some boards have heard from their citizens who have said, you know, we have 7 people from the east side of the district representing the school board and 0 from the west side, and we want to have more balance, and therefore they come up with a more balanced structure in an election district model. And that's the large reason.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, I would just like a clarification on are the districts absolutely necessarily divided by population? Seems to me I know of one that might be more geographical than population.
Mr. Schneiderwin.
Mr. Chair, now that you say that, I'm not 100% certain either, but I think in large part, my understanding was that it was based on population, but there could be an exception for that. But I can certainly check into that and get back to you.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Gehring, do you know?
Mr. Gehring.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, I guess I don't know specifically, although if you have districts where an individual person is representing that district, it's likely that they're going to need to comply with the equal population requirements. There could be districts where there are multiple representatives from a single district, so multi-member districts could have a larger population than a district in the same district that has a single representative, but that's to balance out the population equality requirements.
Representative Murphy, follow up.
No, and then some of these districts have at-large candidates as well as for their particular school board districts.
Mr. Schneiderman.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, that's correct.
Or
that's
a combination of the two.
Correct. It may not be a perfect population or perfect geographical piece, but you're right. That large could be a piece.
Mr. Schneiderman, could you also check to see if there's an enrollment component in that as well?
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions? Continue with your testimony. Mr. Schneiderman, are you?
Mr. Chair, I think I am done. So I think that I think I've summarized the issues before us, and I think that we kind of are on the bottom of the totem pole on the election cycle. We understand that, and we appreciate you having us in here, but I think the issues that I've laid out in terms of the election districts, consolidation, and all the other pieces I've shared with you.
Representative Garofalo, excuse me.
Thank you, Representative Fabian. Thank you for your testimony, and I suppose you and I are going to the same place as soon as we're done asking this question, right? and that is, with regards to school attendance boundaries, I think, is it school attendance boundaries, is that based off of pupil counts, or is that based off of population?
Mr. Schneiderwin.
Mr. Chair and Representative Graffloy, I'm not sure of that. I think I'll have to get back to that. I'm not 100% sure on how that's done. But
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Graffloy,
when they're balancing school attendance factors, do they do they consider the attendance of students in the school, or do they consider how many adults live in the district?
Never let it be said that Representative Garofalo does not ask tough questions.
Mr. Chair, I get to be with him every other day, and I've observed that.
Mr. Schneiderwind.
I guess I'm going to have to check into that, Representative Garofalo, on those issues, because I think I'm going to pause there. I'm going to have to get back to you on that piece. And I'll get back to the rest of the committees on that issue as well.
Thank you. Thank
you. Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a question I should know the answer to, I suppose, but I don't. On the consolidated versus non-consolidated, it appears as though under non-consolidated there are some multi-city school districts, and so I'm just wondering, what does it mean to be consolidated?
Mr. Schneiderwind.
Mr. Chair and Representative Poppy, what I believe that means is that the districts have found that they can offer more educational programs for their students by consolidating the districts. And there's a process by which they need to go through and get a vote from their community to approve the consolidation plan that includes joining District X, Y, and Z, or just X and Z together. And therefore, it's got to be accepted by the citizens and make sure it's an appropriate plan to do. So.
Poppy.
Mr. Chair, so what's the difference between a Rosemont, Apple Valley, Eagan, which is non-consolidated, and another school that would be like a Janesville, Waldorf, Pemberton that is listed as a consolidated school?
Mr. Schneiderwind.
Mr. Chair and Representative Poppy, the issue, I think the fact is when they drew the district boundaries, it included the Rosemont Apple Valley Eagan School District, and that's just the way it is. That three cities are comprised in one school district. They're independent cities, but the school district is a boundary around those three cities. Where Janesville, Waldorf, Pemberton have said, you know what, we need to get a program together, so we're going to go through a consolidation plan, get the vote of the public, and make those changes.
Representative Poppy, follow up. Any other questions for Mr. Schneiderwind or Mr. Sullen? Representative Anderson. Okay, if there's nothing else, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.